We have all things under control, and then kids show up and help us realize the realities of life. And sometimes that even happens with adults, and we had a little mix-up on our communion today. But isn't it great that the communion actually showed up so we can partake of it later? And so we're very thankful for that, and we look forward to sharing this meal with you in a few moments. But what we're going to do first is we are going to spend some time honoring the graduates that we have with us today. And before we actually do the honoring part, I have a few words for our graduates. And they go kind of like this. Dear graduate, I would like to congratulate you on your accomplishment. You've completed a course of study that enables you to go on to the next stage of your life. We are so thankful to share this moment with you. Today, some of you are tired. You just graduated yesterday and had your celebrations last night, so we thank you very much for joining us today. Many of you still have exams to write. Some of you don't actually know the answer to the question, what's going to happen in the fall or beyond. Graduation is a time of celebration, transition, and achievement. There's some uncertainty, maybe some relief, and some anticipation as to what's next. You may have heard some speeches recently or been given advice by people who care about you, so I'd like to join them in giving you a little bit more. But I have a confession to make. As you know, Pastor Justin is usually the one who speaks on this Sunday. I haven't done this in a long time. So, I have a colleague who ministers in a town of 1,200, and every year he is asked to give the address to the graduates at their high school. So I asked him, what have you gleaned through 15 years of preparing graduation speeches? And this is the best, or jumping off from the best that he got. So I'm going to give you 8 brief challenges or appeals as you graduate. So here we go. Number one, know that following Christ is both right and best. Believing in Jesus is right because Jesus is the one true God. He deserves all glory, including the ultimate glory for your accomplishment. He gave you the mind, body, ability, and opportunity to gain an education. He put you in a situation where you actually could go to school and learn what's necessary to pass your course. But it's not only right to follow Christ, it's best, because Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly. If you've not done so already, give your life to the King. For on the cross, he paid the penalty for his people so that we could spend eternity together on the new earth in his presence. This is the gospel of good news, and receiving him can shape every area of your life. The alternative to not believing in Jesus and its consequences is dire. Which leads me to point two, or challenge two. Be warned and be sure. Be warned that the way of sin is hard. As someone has said, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Don't buy the lie that you can make wrong choices and not reap the consequences. If you choose to date and marry unbelievers, you're choosing suffering sometime in your life. Hate pornography and other potentially addictive behaviors. Though promising freedom, they actually enslave and lead to widespread destruction. Anything besides God that we get our meaning from or put our hopes in will offer an initial rush, but increasingly bore us. Only God and his love become more and more engaging and absorbing and satisfying forever. But also be sure that you really are a Christian. Many think they are Christians, and they're not. We saw last week in Matthew 23 how Jesus condemned the religious leaders to expose the spiritual lostness in their lives. The worst words that will ever be heard are those who stand before Christ one day thinking that they're Christians and hear him say, I never knew you. Depart from me. The thought that some of you may be in that group scares me deeply as a pastor. If you're not sure about your standing with Christ, talk to some mature Christian soon. Number three, remember that God makes bricks with a building in mind. And you are like a brick or a living stone, according to the Apostle Peter. He used that image to make the point that Christians should be mortared together in local churches. Gifted and empowered by the Holy Spirit, the local church is to be salt, meaning to season and preserve our communities, and light, boldly proclaiming truth to light the darkness. So be baptized and join a local church. You need a church just as much as Noah needed the ark. Don't put church on hold for a few years. During that time, you will make decisions that will affect the trajectory of your life. Be aimed in the right direction. And if you move and go to school somewhere else, make it your first priority to find a church and Christian fellowship. This is especially critical in the first 3 weeks of your first school semester. Number four, sharpen your wisdom saw with God's word. Wisdom is skill for living. It's the saw that we use to cut our way through life. We need a sharp saw to make quality decisions. We sharpen our wisdom saws by memorizing and reading God's word and hearing it preached. Be word-centered, soaked in scripture. It is more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. Five, envision a beautiful bride walking down the aisle in a Christ-centered wedding. God's plan for sex and marriage is breathtakingly beautiful, but our world has distorted it into something casual, ordinary, maybe even dirty. Whether you're called to be married or not, beautiful brides picture how Christ views the church, you. Marriage and the gospel explain one another. We cannot allow unbelieving culture to corrupt our vision for Christ-centered weddings and homes. Both marriage and the gospel are at stake. And you can choose now to live your life in a way that taps into God's beautiful plan for his church, for marriage, for families, for sexuality. Number six, think deeply about true answers. Don't stumble through life as an unconscious zombie. That's what the culture encourages us to do. Too many in our day never think about life's big questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Why do we love? Why is there pain? How can we know God? Don't be a zombie. Insist on answers. Ask them in our community. You have plenty of resources in the people of this church family to ask questions about life, marriage, purpose, work, relationships, and the Christian life. I used to be somewhat hesitant to ask questions when I didn't understand or know. I thought I'd look stupid. But then when I talked to friends, people who were in my same class, many of them had the same question, and after a while realized that we were poor for not asking it. So initiate discussion about what we believe so we can all point others to the King. Number seven, be assured that people in Sturgeon Valley Baptist love you. Certainly we're not perfect, but one gift God has given to us is an intergenerational mix of people who can connect with and encourage one another. If you were here last Sunday, you saw some of that at our church picnic. God has placed many in this congregation who care and would be willing to share with you about their lives or questions about life. Love within a church doesn't evolve. It isn't invented. It is eternal because our triune God is eternally love, ever-giving and self-giving. He loves us and empowers us to love one another. And when we get to the heavenly city, we want you to know where our meeting place will be. Maybe 7th tree on the right side of the river, looking at the throne of heaven. We'll be there soon. But in the meantime, tap into and connect with the many resources found within this body of believers. And lastly, number eight, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. There are many challenges, decisions, and choices that you will be making over the next months and years, and finding others to pray for you, with you, is one way to connect with others and share life's burdens. You can use our prayer chain, you can use the connect cards, or you can connect with a church leader or someone else and ask them to pray, and then keep them updated on what's happening and what God is doing. But prayer is one way our church community can support you in your next steps. So graduates and everyone else who is listening, know that following Christ is right and best. Be warned about sin and sure of your salvation. Remember to mortar together in a local church. Sharpen your wisdom saw with God's word. Remember the symbolism of the bride walking down the aisle to her groom like Christ and his church. Think deeply about true answers. Be assured the people of this church love you, and don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, you are the God who leads us through times of change. You commanded Abraham to leave all that he knew and go to a land that you would show him. Out of Abraham came the nation of Israel. Out of Israel came Jesus. Because of Jesus, we're gathered here today. Jesus himself had to undergo massive changes. He left heaven and came to earth as a vulnerable baby. He grew up in a typical, poor, Jewish, first century village house. But he would become one of the most well-known people throughout the region, and eventually he would be killed so that we would have life. I wonder if there were times, O God, when Jesus was comfortable where he was and humanly might have wanted to remain anonymous and just go on living. But he said yes to the direction that you had for him. Ultimately, it was a good direction that brought good for so many millions who have followed him. So today, I lift these graduates to you. You know their excitement and their fears. You know the next steps for them and what awaits. You promise to be with them always if they will only turn to you and trust your guidance. So will you protect them? Will you help them grow strong in you and make hard choices that will glorify you? Will you teach them wisdom and guide them to people who will help them and pray with them? Will you impress upon us as a congregation our need to encourage, shepherd, and pray for each one? And help us see more clearly ways in which we can support them. And create in us, O God, a more open arena to dialogue and discuss our faith so they can discover along with us your true greatness and power. We thank you for each grad. Bless their families as they also adjust to their graduate, moving on to something new. And grant us all wisdom on when to speak and when to listen to our graduates. We thank you for the privilege of sharing in this moment and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. To all grads and to all of us, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. May you pursue knowing the Lord, knowing the Holy One, today and for the rest of your lives. Amen.